So we're going through a move here at the Carrot headquarters, at the Carrot offices. We're not moving buildings. We're just moving across the building. So we have an 8,000 square foot building here in downtown Roseburg, Oregon, that we've been in since about 2010 is when I started this entrepreneur co-workspace here called The Loft. We have amazing companies working out of here. Carrot just happens to be the biggest tenant in it. Anyway, one of our community members bought the building across the street, is just now renovating it, which is opening up a bunch of space across the building. So we're going to be moving my office over there. Some of the Carrot team is already over there. We're going to be taking up these two really, really, really big offices over there over by the content studio. And the reason I bring that up is I'm here in my current office right now doing this intro for this amazing podcast that I think you're going to enjoy the heck out of today. I'll tell you about it here in a second. But my office is very, very empty, and it feels kind of weird. And my couch is gone and my table's gone. And some of the stuff on the walls are gone, and it just feels empty. But one thing I do have is I've got my basketball hoop in here, and I've got my basketball hoop. I'm gonna do something kind of fun here, and I have not been on a hot streak lately with shooting hoops with this thing. And my desk is probably about 15 feet away. It's one of those little mini basketball hoops. And I'm gonna take a shot right now, and maybe I might do this on every episode. We'll see. But I'm gonna take a shot right now. And if I make it, I'm going to give away $100 to one of the people who end up texting the word carrot. So text the word carrot to 38470. That's 38470. Text the word carrot to that number. And what we're going to do is we're going to send you an amazing free resource that is basically our guide to content marketing. It's a webinar. You're going to have a checklist over there. And it's going to walk you through how to get your content ranked well in Google. It's going to walk you through our process and how to go out there and control the conversation in your marketplace so you can become the expert, the leading expert in that market. And we're going to walk you through the whole thing. Free training. You don't have to pay anything at all. Just text the word carrot to 38470. And anyone this week that does that is going to be entered into the drawing to win this $100 if I make this. And heck, if I miss it, I might still do it. So give me 1 second here. Let me position the camera so you can hear the clank or the swoosh. 1 sec. Here we go. Okay. That was way off. I'm going to take another shot. 1 sec. Terrible. Terrible. Way off too. So anyway, guys and gals, we're still going to give away the $100 for that. So text the word carrots to 38470. It's got to be real phone number because we're then going to text you back. And then in order to get that free resource, you just got to shoot us your email and we'll send it to your email address. One of the people that does it this week, we're going to do a random drawing to win $100. You can go out there and fuel the marketing in your business. Now, without further ado, let's transition into this episode of the Carrot Cast. Now, this episode of the Carrot Cast, just like all of them, I'm always really excited about each episode for different reasons. Now, this one, I've known the guest who's coming on here. His name is Justin Lee. I've known him for years. Now, as we talk about on the podcast, I've spent time at his house in Panama with my family and his family. I've stayed at his house for a week in San Diego on the beach, and it's just been really cool getting to know him and see the way that he intentionally lives his lifestyle, fueled by entrepreneurship. One of their passions is travel. They have two kids, two amazing kids, and they just travel the world all the time. And it's just one thing that they've built into their business intentionally to make sure that as they're growing their company, they're never sacrificing those passions. They're never sacrificing travel in exchange for just a few extra bucks. And we're going to talk about travel in this episode. So if you love travel, if one of the things that you are passionate about that is a fuel for you as an entrepreneur, as a real estate investor, then you're going to want to listen to this episode. You know, how does Justin go on trips that are 8-9 weeks in Europe, which he just got back from that trip? How does he do that and still run his business? Well, he walks you through what he does when he goes away for a month or two out of the country to run his wholesaling, house flipping, and rental property business. Also, what are some of the key takeaways that he has learned and I've learned over the years with travel and how to structure your business away so it gives you that freedom that you're looking for and it's not a trap, it's not a prison like I have experienced in the past with businesses. But also one really amazing thing outside of the travel and lifestyle side of it is Justin is like the intern ninja. Now, we've had a few interns here at my companies. We've ended up hiring two of them, and the other one we're still doing some projects with. But Justin has had 50 plus interns with this companies over the years, and he's really nailed that process. And his interns are almost always unpaid, but he's got the process down in a certain way to where it's working out insanely well. And he's only had, I think he said, one or two duds over the years with the interns. The rest of them have been amazing, and they're actually even out there closing deals. And in this episode, we're going to walk you through his latest intern and how he took basically Justin's Carrot website, dove into our 3 lead per day training, engaged in our mastermind calls. Justin gave him a couple other resources, and that intern went out and did some things that turned into a deal that Justin netted $21,000 in while he was flying to Europe for his 9-week vacation this summer. So if you guys want to learn how to scale your business up, delegate better, leverage interns possibly, and travel the world, this is going to be a great episode for you. Before we do that, make sure you guys and gals go to iTunes and find us on look up CarrotCast on there, or go to CarrotCast.com and you'll find all of our past episodes there. But one favor I want to ask of you, if you're enjoying this time with us, if you're enjoying the people we're bringing on, the insights we're pulling out, if you're enjoying that stuff, the best reward for us guys and gals is honestly giving us a rating, subscribing on iTunes or whatever your favorite podcast player is. Okay. Just head over to CarrotCast.com or go find us on iTunes and give us a quick rating and review. Now, that's the kind of stuff that once again keeps this podcast fueled, keeps the podcast going. It's also the best way to get access to the CarrotCast 2 weeks before we launch them on the blog. We actually roll out these episodes 2 weeks early on iTunes, so you can be a full 2 episodes ahead, and you can be ahead of everyone else that listens to it just on the blog, and gives you a little bit of early access over there. And also, we're going to publish some episodes that are only on iTunes. They're not me on the blog, so keep an eye out over there. So go to CarrotCast.com and please give us a rating, give us a review, and subscribe. Without further ado, guys and gals, let's welcome in Justin Lee, my buddy from years and years back, but just crushing it in the real estate market and crushing it as an entrepreneur and on the lifestyle side. Let's dive in, Justin. I'm really excited about this episode of the Carrot Cast, like I said in the introduction. And I've got a special guest with me, but also this isn't just any guest. Justin and I have been friends for, I don't even know how many years, man, but we've been friends for a few. And, you know, our families have hung out. We were at their pad down in Panama for a short stint, and my children basically exploded your house for about 4 or 5 days, which we're so grateful for you guys letting us join you there. But I guarantee it wasn't what any of us thought when one of my kids got sick. But anyway, so we know each other, and Justin and I have been, you know, of course, friends for a while, and I always get to hear some of the cool stuff that he's doing, whether it's in real estate or outside of real estate, or just, you know, just the cool things that him and his family do, because they do a lot of traveling. They definitely leverage entrepreneurship in the way that I think most people intend to when they start out. You know, I think a lot of us intend to build a company, intend to be entrepreneurs so we can have that flexibility, so you can have that freedom, so you can go out there and give your family, your kids, your spouse, yourself those experiences that you want to have in this world. And I can definitely say that Justin and Dreema and their family do that. So welcome on the call, Justin. And
Trevor, awesome to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, dude. So where are you at right now? Are you up in Vancouver?
I am back home in Vancouver. You forgot to mention we've got that whole Pacific Northwest vibe connection thing.
Yeah. Exactly. So Justin's up in Vancouver, Canada. So not Washington. So we are up in the same vicinity anyway. But dude, the first time if I were to think back, the first time you and I actually hung out, it was probably at some event years ago, but it was really when you guys were living in San Diego.
Yeah.
I went down there and hung out with you guys at the beach house for 3, 4, or 5 days.
It was just that was a good house. Yeah.
The house was a blast. The view was amazing, but it was just really cool getting to know your family and your two kids. And it was just really, really cool, man. So I appreciate the hospitality for sure. But so what we want to talk about on this episode of the Carrot Cast, guys and gals, I mean, of course, Justin's got a really cool story, and I'm always big on story. I just love hearing entrepreneurs' stories. I think inherently inside of us human beings, we love story. But we also want to have you walk away from this episode being able to implement something. Maybe have a couple massive mindset shifts for you, that you guys can make in your business. And some of the things that Justin's doing in his business so he can really have that freedom, you know, so he can build the team and delegate well. We're going to talk about a lot of that today. If you guys have ever heard of an intern, if you guys have ever been one or hired one, that's one thing. If I were to think, you know, who do I know out there that knows more than anything or more than anyone about interns? Justin is probably that guy, and we'll talk about that here in a bit. But also, there's some cool stuff that he's been doing with Carrot. And I know these Carrot casts are not Carrot sales pitches, but I think I'd be remiss to show some really cool stuff that you guys can do to give you more freedom and get the results. And Justin's doing the same thing. So anyway, man, I'd love to kind of start with the quick backstory, dude. So give us a quick backstory. You didn't grow up in Canada. So where'd you come from and how'd you get into real estate?
Yeah, no, I did. I did grow up in Canada, but I was born. I was born in California. My parents moved, left California when I was 18 months old. They went to England, and then they ended up in Vancouver when I was 4. And I grew up there. I went to high school there. I went to college in the States. I went to Penn State. After that, I moved down to Washington D.C. I did the corporate America thing for 6 years. Mm-hmm. I went through the whole .com bubble bust. My last job, I was working in telecom. I got laid off outside a train station in Newark, New Jersey, said, I'm never going to work for anybody else again, as long as I live. Got in the mortgage brokerage business and stumbled into the real estate investing world, the pre-foreclosure world. I actually used to own the domain savemefromforeclosure.com. And then I sold it. It was probably when I owned that company that we first met. Yep. And then I started investing. I did my first deal in 2003. And since then, I've been a full-time real estate investor. And I have a online marketing company that I used to do a lot more with that business. And today, 95% of my time and income is spent on the real estate investing company. And about 5% of it is spent on the online marketing stuff.
Dude, so you guys, so once again, you live up in Vancouver. Yeah. Where do you guys do most of your deals right now?
So today I'm in three markets. Market number one would be San Diego. I lived there, as you mentioned earlier, for a three-year stint. And we got it up and running. And when we moved back to Vancouver, there was no reason to shut it down because it was going well. So San Diego's a great market for us, still going strong. I then went into St. Louis, Missouri, which I'm still in that market, but not as active. That was more like a market where we were doing buy and hold rentals and also some wholesaling. And then last year, I decided that I wanted to do another market. And of course, I just, you know, we decided we were going to do Seattle and right across the border from us in Washington State. So San Diego, St. Louis, Seattle. I'm running out of S cities to invest.
So you've got Sacramento, you've got Salem. No.
Yeah,
you got some more S cities to go, man. So one thing I remember, it was years ago, we were somewhere talking, and one thing that always fascinates me about real estate, it's not really the wholesaling house flipping side of things. I mean, everyone listened to this podcast, and you know I'm not a house flipper. I don't wholesale. I've wholesaled one deal in my life, and it was by accident. It was a mini storage. And but one thing that's really cool is how you guys have really leveraged real estate to help you build wealth long term. And you talk about the buy and hold stuff. Don't you guys have your hands in some mini storage and some other things like that?
No mini storage, although that is something that Dream is like dying to get into. Uh-huh. So no mini storage. But I think for me, and this was a big a mindset shift from last year for me, which was wholesaling and even the fix and flip business is great, but it's there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's where's the next deal? Where's the next deal? Where's the next deal? And so we really, in 2015, made it a goal to get into some more long-term creative financing, long-term wealth building type strategies. So, you know, really taking advantage of seller financing notes and something like that, that we've been looking at incorporating more and more into our company.
So you guys buying properties with seller financing, or are you guys selling properties?
Both.
Okay.
Both. But trying to do more acquisitions, buying with seller financing.
Totally. Man, on that topic right there, so if you think about it, This is about 7-8 years ago when I first started to, you know, I bought my first property in 2004. And around there, I talked to a mentor of mine. It was actually my grandpa. He said, man, there's a lot of people out there who are just like me, who have properties and they want to sell them because they're retiring or they are retired. And they want to get rid of the rental properties. And for him, you know, he was the kind of guy who was like, man, I would rather sell or finance because I don't want to have a chunk of cash. Now I've got to pay this tax on. It's going to increase my taxable income. I'd rather just keep on getting the checks, just not have to deal with tenants and stuff. Do you still see that trend getting bigger? Is it still big right now where the retirees are getting rid of their properties?
You know what? To be honest with you, we find it the seller financing thing isn't always the easiest deal to close because it's a more sophisticated sale. So you need a higher quality person in front of the homeowner. And then they have to be able to explain it in a manner that's easy to understand because obviously every homeowner understands just selling for cash. So I wouldn't say that it's easy, but it's more about finding those right opportunities or seeing deals that aren't wholesalable and converting them back into those seller finance deals.
So is this all single family stuff or are you guys doing any multifamily with this?
We're doing a bit of multifamily, but not much. Single family is our bread and butter. I owned a 35 unit building in Phoenix for 3 years and it's not for me. One thing I'm very good at is knowing my strengths and weaknesses, and I am very self-aware of my weaknesses. Probably to my wife's dismay, like it's shocking. She's like, you know, you suck at this. You're not trying to get better. I'm like, yeah, I'm never probably going to be that good at it. So I'm just going to stick to the stuff that I'm good at.
Dude, so you open the can of worms. So what are your weaknesses? What are the things that you're just not good at and you've owned up to them?
Like big picture or minutia? Like I'll give you a very specific example. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot of marketing right now in Snohomish County, which is the northern Seattle suburb. So it's like where Everett is and the Boeing plant is and all that kind of stuff. And we're coming across a lot of land deals. And Seattle is just going nuts right now with like the jobs and the housing. It was top three. Last year, San Francisco and Seattle were the two of the, I forget what the third was, but two of the, I think it might have been Portland, actually.
It probably was Portland, yeah.
Were the three strongest housing markets in terms of like appreciation. And so I'm getting all these deals and I know there's something there. I'm not the guy who's going to like go down and figure out how many lots and how is this zoned and short plat and this. And I had a conversation today with the guy who that is his specialty. And I said, listen, man, all I want to do is generate the deals, send the information to you, and you tell me at what price we need to get it. And that's all I want to do. Generate deals, talk to sellers, build rapport, close deals. That's it. If I'm the guy who's got to figure out, well, we can take this zoned R7200 and convert it into six lots, but the road has to go, it'll be a disaster and it'll never happen. So that would be one specific example of, you know, knowing what I'm good at and or not good at.
So how long and how much trial and error has it taken you to start to realize some of that stuff over the years?
You know what? It actually isn't that bad for me because like, I sort of know what I mean, obviously it's not like I've had this innate nature since I was a kid or anything, but certainly, you know, it's funny. I brought this up to somebody just on an earlier call. The last time somebody gave me a paycheck was 2001. And I would say certainly over the last 10 years of being an entrepreneur, I've been pretty self-aware about what I'm good at and what I'm not good at.
Yep. Hey, dude, I can tell you for sure. And you know, a little bit of this just from, yes, knowing each other and kind of following each other over the years and stuff. But those of you guys listening to this podcast, you've gotten to know me a little bit, you know, on the podcast and stuff. But one thing that I've gotten way better at this past 3-4 years is exactly that, knowing my weaknesses, knowing my strengths. I can tell you, you know, even 5-6 years ago, I totally thought I was a good marketer. And which the funny thing is, like, I think everyone would still look at me and go, man, he's like a really good marketer. I'm not. Like, I just really love connecting with people. I love the vision side of things. I really love how do you create this big vision that can rally people around it, and then let's rally those people around it, and they're the ones that are going to go out there and implement this stuff. I love coming up with marketing ideas. I hate implementing them. And I was just really stuck in this rut 4 or 5 years ago, man, where I was just miserable, you know, with what I was doing on the day-to-day because I was working in my weaknesses, not my strengths. And for those of you guys listening to this call, I know for me, the things that I truly spend the most amount of my time today doing are things that looking back 4 or 5 years ago, I would have never thought I could be spending 60, 70, 80% of my day doing them. Like this right here, doing podcasts, right? I love this stuff, but 4 or 5 years ago, I'm like, how am I going to make a living doing podcasts and videos and like writing stuff and firing my team up and casting vision? Like, I can't make a living. I've actually got to make sales. We've actually got to build a company and customers. And you do, but you get the ball rolling, and as quickly as you can, you build a team and you get that stuff off your lap, which we're going to be talking about in today's podcast, which I'm really excited about. So kind of diving into what you mentioned there. So you guys have some buy and hold stuff to help build the wealth. Do you guys have anything, you don't have to tell me the numbers or anything, but do you guys have anything in particular that is a goal that you're going, okay, we're flipping houses, we're doing wholesales. Are you guys piling a certain percentage of that into buy and holds, or is it just whatever you guys can find to buy and hold?
Yeah, no, it's just picking and choosing and cherry picking and saying this one makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a certain number where you're like, as soon as we get to this number of cash flow, we're where we need to be?
It's a big number.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Like this is where we need to be. Like I can, check out and go spend 9 years instead of 9 months in Europe, or 9 weeks in Europe.
Yeah.
I think, probably if it was no lie after all said and done, and we were like at net 30 grand a month after like everything with the real estate, then I would probably come way more passive on the wholesaling mm-hmm. side of things. Cause it is a job. It's work for sure. And it's managing people, which is a job in of itself.
Yep. Dude. And that's crazy important. So everyone listening to this, make sure you have whatever your number is. Cause I know for me, I kind of call it the horizon principle, right? Where you're on a boat and you're sailing, you look at the horizon looks like it's something you can actually reach. But no matter how far you go in that ocean, the horizon's always moving. And for me, numbers, money, it's the same thing. And if you don't have this spot, like an island in the ocean that you're sailing to, that you can get out and celebrate, instead of always going to the horizon, it's just a recipe for disaster. And I've been down that path. And so everyone come up with whatever your number is, and not that it can't adjust, but once you get there, at least get off the darn boat and hop on the island and celebrate for a little while and kind of take a load off, and then you can set your sights higher or to a different spot if you want to. But really important having a number like Justin mentioned there. So dude, let's kind of transition over to building the team side of things. So I know you're like the Mr. Intern guy, right? So how many interns have you had over the years?
Probably had. So, what's funny is you talked about when you came to the house in San Diego is actually the one up in Encinitas. Mm-hmm. And it was, if you remember, right, we had like the private steps to the beach. Like if the tsunami came, we were the first people to die.
It was sweet. It was sweet.
So we're in that house and we were going to an event, and I started telling you about what I'm doing with interns, and it was almost like you started challenging me, and you're like, dude, you got to tell other people how to do this. And I made the promise, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. So, I'd always been fascinated with this idea of having interns come and work for me. And so I went back to my alma mater, Penn State. And it was a Twitter conversation, if you can believe it, with somebody. One thing led to another. She introduced me to this professor who works at this school of IST at Penn State. It wasn't even there when I was a student. It's this new thing. It's called Information and Science Technology. And these kids have to fulfill a 300-hour internship in order to graduate. And because of this science and technology school, IST, they really wanted like web-based type of projects. And as you well know, if you're doing a web-based thing, you could sort of be anywhere, but it's way more easily to work virtual than certainly in other positions.
Yep.
And I just hit it off with this professor, and I wanted to offer an internship, and we got our first, intern going. And then had a second, then a third, and then I'd meet people like you. Hey, what are you doing? I'd be telling them I'd be doing this intern thing. You'd be like, oh my God. And I finally had so many people ask me what was going on. We finally put up a website and, sort of taught people really how to do it. And, what to do. And it's been tremendously, tremendously rewarding. I think I've had over 50 interns. I think about maybe two duds, I would say, who stick out of my mind is like, meh. But the rest were all ranged from very good to unbelievably outstanding. My one cool thing I'll tell you is a little story. The best intern that I've ever had, and I still remember because I did the phone interview at that Encinitas house. I still remember the phone interview very well. His name's Mike O'Donnell. He interned for me for about, I want to say, close to a year and a half. Normally they're not that, they're normally not that long. Maybe a bit less, closer to a year, but yeah. It was over a year, whatever. Today, so I helped him. I sort of became a mentor to him, sort of helped him with some connections. Long story short, I helped him launch a business selling on Amazon. Helped him come up with the name of, actually I didn't help him come up. I came up with the name of his company. I gave it to him, which was Cave Tools, which is sort of like a play on the man cave and the caveman, the paleo trend.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, he came to visit us in France this summer for 4 days, 5 days. He's going to do 2.7 this year.
What?
In his stuff on Cave Tools. He's sort of got like 40 different products. Like he started out with just grill brushes. Huh. And now he's got everything from like, he's got meat claws to like you do your pulled shredded pork. He's got like a beer can chicken thing. He's got like spatulas, tongs. He's just got all sorts of stuff. And basically he's got a whole team. Everybody's in China. They make the stuff in China. They come up with an idea. Are you looking at the site?
Yeah, I'm pulling up Cave Tools.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
It's actually, I'm plugging his business now.
No, it's awesome, cool. Man.
Mike, are you listening? I hope you're listening to this. I appreciate it, Mike. If you guys need some barbecue stuff, go to Cave Tools.
Cool.
No, but it's really cool because, like, you know, I've taken on sort of that mentorship role with him. And it was a really good symbiotic relationship. He did awesome work for us when he was with an intern. We still keep in touch. You know, like he came over. He's, you know, stays with us in Europe for 4 days. He's playing with the kids in the lake. Like it's a great relationship. And, you know, it's really, really cool that if, you know, to be an entrepreneur and be able to have somebody come and work, you know, sort of side by side with you. And then see them actually get inspired and go and do their own thing.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's cool. I pulled up the site and it's legit. It's clean. They've got he's building a real business. And
yeah, he's killing it on Amazon too.
Dude, and that's one of the cool things, like you mentioned. I know for me, one of the things I enjoy the most is talking with entrepreneurs is, you know, my team probably is tired of me saying this, but I love amplifying leaders, you know, whether it's the person who is leading the company or someone who is a leader within the company or just a leader in the community. I love amplifying leaders because people like Mike, people like you can go out there and make a bigger difference, you know, and it's just really cool. So that impact you made with that year and a half working with him, dude, who knows how many people he's going to go out there now.
Yeah.
And do the same thing too. So you created this little ripple, you know, this little ripple effect that's going to keep on going. And you literally changed the family tree of Mike O'Donnell, your intern guy.
Yeah.
You know, literally for generations possibly. And I remember when we were talking, same thing, it might've been in San Diego, but you were talking about an intern that you had, and maybe you had a lot of them doing this, but they would go down to the county courthouse and they'd pull records for you. They'd oftentimes even put all the mailings together and do all that kind of stuff. So what kind of things do you have an intern do for you?
On the real estate business?
Yeah, the real estate business.
So this is an important one, no matter what kind of business you own. So first off, no matter what kind of business you own, whether you're a real estate investor, you're a software developer, you're a mortgage broker, you're a lawyer, it doesn't matter, a plumber, you can have an intern, okay? The biggest thing where people get it wrong is they try and put their intern on something that is not what I will call project-based. In other words, you got to realize an intern's going to have a finite life with your company, right? You might get lucky and you might decide to hire them. They might come work for you, whatever. That's the exception rather than the rule, okay? If you're looking to staff up and you want younger graduates and that's your target hiring, then it's a great sort of tool or testing ground, if you will. But for the most part, where I see entrepreneurs get it wrong is they want their intern to go out and do like some sort of daily repetitive task that when they leave, you're just going to have to fill the void. Yeah. Or the biggest blunder I see is some people want them to do sales. Not good.
Okay.
You want your intern on something project-based, something that they could start at the beginning of the internship and work on it and ideally finish it prior to the end of the internship. So, you know, do you want me to give you the example of the one that we were talking about that sort of led to this whole conversation?
For sure.
So I had an intern. I went back to Penn State. I went back to the well, had an intern contact me again, School of IST, had to do this 300-hour internship, right? So, you know, Trevor, I guess when did I get – I mean, I know that we first got set up on Carrot about 2 years ago, and then, you know, like – a lot of people, honestly, we did nothing with it.
Yeah.
Just was lazy. We had the domains. We did nothing with it. And then I realized that I'm spending, you know, five figures a month on direct mail and thinking to myself, this is insane that we don't have an internet strategy for lead gen. We're leaving tons of money on the table here. This is absurd. Yeah. Our whole business, I shouldn't say our whole, 90% of our revenue is coming from direct mail.
Yeah.
Got to get serious with the carrot strategy. And that's when the point that we were in those three markets and we wanted to be across all three. And I just looking at it, and like most real estate investors, it's like, oh, it just sounds like a lot of work.
There's more, yeah, more stuff to work on. And it's not an immediate payoff unless you're doing pay-per-click or something like that, you know.
And again, this would be one of those things where I can do it. It's just not something that I would want to do. I don't find it enjoyable. Mm-hmm. And it's the perfect task for an intern.
Yep.
So what we did was we had this really cool domain, sellerhomefastnow.com, that we weren't doing anything with. And so I had the intern come in and I basically put him through all of the carrot training. He was basically my carrot intern. Yep. You got to go on and then you have to build out the site. And then what we did was we built out. So we just started with San Diego. And then we really dove deep into your whole like city specific strategy, multiple markets, took some of your best practices there, took some other stuff that I had him research on the web. But it was really cool because it was all about him saying, look, here's the carrot way of doing it. And the carrot way is great. But now I want you to go deeper and I want you to research and come up with some other ideas and other things that we can do. And it's a really collaborative type of thing as he started, you know, to build it out. And we wanted to move into Seattle as a market. I only turned on marketing in Seattle, gosh, probably 2 months before we left for Europe. So that's like 4 months ago, maybe. So not long ago. And so we're doing this direct mail and marketing. And I said to him, I said, okay, we got to build Seattle out as a market. And we started building out these city pages. And about 2 weeks before I left for my big Europe trip, get a call from a guy. Actually, I tell a lie. It wasn't 2 weeks. It was about a month before we left. Get a call from a guy. He goes, yeah, I'm on the web and I'm seeing you guys buy houses in Seattle. And I'm like, yeah, we do. He goes, we run a fund out of LA and we buy default at seconds. And we've got this thing in Seattle. It's not our market. We have no connections there. Do you want to buy it? Got the information from him. Long story short, I knew the price that he wanted. I didn't think I could put a deal together. And I just sort of like with the karma thing, I didn't want to tie up his deal and run around for what I probably wasn't going to happen. And so I said, you know what, man? I said, I'm probably not a good fit for you. If you've really got an offer at whatever he had, 610, I'm like, I'm going to pass. But there was something about it that I just wanted to keep in touch with the guy. And about 3 weeks later, and I honestly forget if I called him or he called me. I don't remember. But the deal had fallen out of escrow. And he's like, you can have it for 600. And at this time I thought, okay. Got it under contract. And found a buyer. I won't go into the whole boring, they battled with this buyer. It was awful. It was like a miserable experience. I'll never wholesale a deal to this guy again as long as I live. but maybe he's listening. And we flipped the house and we made $21,500 and the deal closed while I was in Europe. So it was sort of cool, like seeing the wire come in, you know, the day after we got off the plane. But the cool part about it was that was 100% a Carat site that came from a phone call, that came from a city specific page, that came from an intern put up, who was self-taught primarily because of the really great trainings that you guys have. And I was, I guess, smart enough, lucky enough, whatever you want to call it, to know, like, I never would have done it, mm-hmm. you know? And had I never have done it, it never would have got done. The page never would be up there. The guy never would have found us. We never would have got the deal.
And dude, that's the first one, and hopefully more come in. And that's, you know it, dude. I mean, your Save Me From Foreclosure site was just crushing in Google.
Yeah.
You know the gig. You're not new to this stuff, but like you said, you just don't want to do it. You don't want to spend your own time doing it yourself. And that's the cool thing is hopefully it keeps on building up and you get some more of those deals coming in and it can add to your guys' bottom line. And,
yeah.
And a couple things with that. So when you're out there looking for interns, so this guy, how many applications do you get, or do you just basically get a call and you're like, you know,
yeah,
intern
so-
you take, do you get 10 or one or how?
So the way it works is I create a relationship now with Penn State, which is my alma mater. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a relation, I'd encourage people to get a relationship with a school. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to be like a local feet on the street real estate investor in City X, you can go to your local university. If you're an alum somewhere and it's going to be virtual work, I would recommend going to your alma mater. Mm-hmm. And what you got to do is you got to write a really killer job description that makes the internship sound exciting or sexy. You got to sell it. And what I would encourage everybody, like I know who your audience is, you want to sell the fact that you're an entrepreneur, that you've built this business, you've built that business, and that this is for somebody with an entrepreneurial mindset. Like for the guys who want the internship at Google or Facebook, they're never going to come and intern with me.
Yeah.
So I write the ad where those guys won't even apply. Mm-hmm. Right? This is like, you ever dream of owning your own business? Do you want to work virtually? Do you want to work remotely? Do you want to gain experience in this? Right? Like this was a thing where it was like, hey, do you want to help construct this website from start to finish? Do you want to help push up the rankings? Do you want a portfolio to show people? Do you want to understand, you know, how blogs work? Do you want to learn how to work the WordPress platform? All that type of stuff where I can tell people, this is what you're going to get out of
yep.
the internship.
And that's key, because I think a lot of people, they'll market the internship or whatever it is, and it has a bajillion things in there and they're not very specific. Sounds like you go into it almost with a project in mind.
You almost have to, because if you don't, then they show up for the first day of work and you're like, oh, what am I going to have them do? And we've talked to enough interns through our other site, the intern training site, Intern Profits. We talked to enough interns to know that their number one complaint is, I went on this internship and I sat around and there was nothing for me to do. Mm-hmm. Which is insane, because the guy's sitting there going, give me work to do. And yeah. You know, so, you know, if you have a couple of projects in mind, for sure, that would be what I would have them do. But other stuff that we've had them do, everything from like researching the probate process in San Diego County Courthouse to running social media campaigns to, you know, doing all sorts of website testing, content development for websites. Like, you know, I wrote a book on how to deep fry a turkey. I had the intern build out that website, do the book publishing for me. Like, you know, whatever business you're in, I promise you, and you know, there is absolutely stuff that you can have them do. If you're a real estate investor, how good are your systems when it comes to like your marketing and your tracking and understanding what campaigns are performing the best and the worst online, offline, segmenting down, all that's, this is all stuff that there's somebody out there who wants to help you with your business and they want to put it on their resume and have a cool story to tell, like, hey, I work with this company and this is what we did.
Dude. So what about pay? I know there's been some sort of, you know, federal laws or whatever regarding internship pay and this and that. What kind of things should people look out for? now.
Yeah. So if you are going to pay them, you've got to pay them the equivalent of minimum wage. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that every single internship that we've offered has been unpaid. And what the intern has received back has either been credit, like school credit, class credit, so helping them get towards graduation, which I always offer up. But our philosophy on the payment thing is this. I know that I'm not the most successful guy in the world, but I think I'm reasonably successful. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me to take time out of my busy schedule and work one-on-one and side-by-side, somebody, that there's got to be a trade-off there, and I'm happy to do that because, quite frankly, otherwise I would probably just go and hire somebody, yep, right, and make it like a complete I'm paying you and this and that type of relationship. So we have paid people in our company, full-time and part-time, and the interns work on very specific and special projects. But yeah, my philosophy is I do have one thing that I'm – another business idea that I may or may not launch, depending upon if I can restrain my entrepreneurial ADD or not. But on that one, I will be looking for at least a couple of interns. And on that one, I will probably give them equity in the company.
Oh, really? That's
cool. Yeah.
And dude, that would be crazy. Can you imagine being a college kid and you see an offer like that to get equity, yeah, in this company you're starting up with a guy? That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. From my perspective on the intern side, so we've had three interns over the years, over about 4 years.
Yeah.
We've hired two of them. The third,
okay,
one is actually, like, we've hired them full time in the different companies we have. And then the third one is looking for work right now. And he came back to us and he's like, hey, do you have any projects or anything? So we're currently working up some projects.
Okay.
Started doing some stuff for us. But we made kind of the cardinal mistake every time, man, where they would come in and we didn't have specific stuff. It was,
yeah,
like, you're in an internship. And,
yeah,
and they'd show up and I'd start scrambling and going, okay, what am I going to have him or her do? It always,
yeah,
worked out. But still that first week or whatever it is always like, it's kind of, you know.
Yeah. I'll give you a quick tip for everybody who's listening right now or watching. I don't know, Trevor, are you like whiteboard guy? Are you sticky note guy? Where do you put your ideas?
Dude, so I'm a sticky note guy. I've got piles of these orange sticky notes.
Okay, so if you were getting ready to hire a new intern, what I tell you is go and look at all your sticky notes and see which ones you can projectify that would be a good fit for an intern. And I bet you you've got a half a dozen internships sitting on your sticky notes there.
That's a good idea. I'm going to make another sticky note with that on it. make an internship. I love it. Dude, I want to kind of shift the convo a little bit here to something that popped in my head. And this is one thing once again, I've always looked up to you and Dreamer, the way that you guys just kind of run. It sounds kind of weird, but not run your family, but like you guys travel and you guys do those things that a lot of people don't, you know, you went and you knew that you had an opportunity before your kids got in school, where you could choose a place to live for a couple of years and you chose San Diego and then you guys have the place down in Panama and you just got back from a however long trip it was in Europe and it's not the first one you've done. I'd love to throw a couple of questions at you that I'm sure other people who have kids and have families might be wondering as well. So you're an entrepreneur, you own multiple companies, you have a family, you have two kids, you're married. What do you guys do? And this is kind of totally an open-ended question, like not even specifics, but like what do you guys do to make sure that you're always fitting in those experience things with the family and with the kids? Do you guys sit there and plan it out or is it spur of the moment stuff? And because you're an entrepreneur, you can pick up and go. What do you guys do there?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So ever since – oh, shoot.
Sorry. Dude, it's a deal. It's a deal coming in right now.
ever since I got laid off and got out of the whole corporate America thing, it's funny. When I got laid off after that outside the train station, Newark, New Jersey, it was the week after Thanksgiving in 2001. So it was like that whole post 9/11 stock market meltdown correction type thing. And I was a victim of that. And I shouldn't say a victim because that makes me sound like a victim. As a result of that, I was laid off. And it was – so that happened a week after Thanksgiving. They gave us a month's severance. That was it. And about 2 weeks later, I'm sitting in my bedroom and Dream was my girlfriend at the time. And she said to me, she goes, what would you be dating if you weren't, What would you be doing if you weren't dating me right now? And I said, honestly, I would probably want to go and travel in Southeast Asia. And she was working. We were living in DC at the time. She was working as a lobbyist, yeah. Like a pretty good gig. And she's like, I hate my job. Screw it. Let's go. Let's go. And so we went and we backpacked around Southeast Asia for 4 months. And ever since then, so that was in 2002. Ever since then, probably every 3 to 4 years, we have taken some sort of big extended time off trip, right? So 2002 with Southeast Asia, 2005, we moved from DC to Vancouver. We took 2.5 months to drive cross country. Like, forget driving cross country in a week. That to me is insanity. Yeah. These maniacs to do it in 3 days. We took 2.5 months. In 2010, we didn't take time off, but we relocated to San Diego for 3 years before the kids were in school. When we moved back to Vancouver in 2012, we stopped in Panama and our place and lived in Panama for 4 months. And then we just did here 9 weeks in Europe. And so it's certainly not at the drop of a bucket. Like, it's fairly calculated. In 2008, we did 4 months in Europe as well. I forgot about that, right after the first baby Stella had been born. And so we sort of plan it out. You have to plan it out in a little bit advance. And Dream is very good and very organized about planning all that stuff. I'm not like the, oh, hey, you know, and as your kids get older, you obviously have to work it around school, whether it's, you know, summer holidays or their age of school. But we were not afraid to travel with young kids. And we felt like I don't know how, like, one of the biggest things, Trevor, you always hear about when people, why do you want to get into the business? One of the ones that I always hear is, man, I want the freedom to travel, right? Isn't that always the big one?
Oh yeah, big time.
I want to travel. And we want to walk the walk and go and live in other countries and experience other things and not have to go for a week at a time or 2 weeks at a time, but be able to go for, you know, 2 months at a time and feel really lucky to do that, but have also set up our lives and our business in a way such that we can do that.
So when you're – and I'm coming fresh off of a month myself here. So people listening to this podcast, I actually did an episode, or I will do an episode on that here in a bit, kind of what I learned there. But I'm coming off a month off, and the reason I did that was because it was last year, last November, Carly and I, my wife, we went down to Costa Rica with a couple friends and stayed at a couple houses that my buddy owns here. In Roseburg, you know, some property there in Costa Rica. And man, it's like those 2 weeks, it wasn't that long, but the 2 weeks was really recharging and refreshing, mainly because I got to disconnect, like fully disconnect. Yeah. Cause the second week, dude, I mean, it was straight up. We didn't have cell phone connection. You know, we didn't have internet, and we were on south of Tamarindo about 90 minutes, I think it was, on this beach house with nothing. And it was the first time that I can remember in years, and I haven't done it since, where we literally let our phones die and we picked them up like 4 or 5 days later. And like, that was weird. We haven't been holding a phone for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
And I came back and it was so, so clear on everything. And just my mind was clear. The days seemed like they were so darn long. And I read a bunch and hung out with friends and Carly, and it's like, had really great connections. I'm going, man, if I can make that happen in 2 weeks, imagine if I take a month off. Now, the mistakes I made, and I want to follow up with a question here to you. The mistake I made in this month was I just went, I'm going to take a month off. And we planned some stuff with the kids. You know, we went to our townhouse for 2 weeks here in Southern Oregon at the Runny Y Ranch. And we just bought a house on the river, just an amazing spot on the river. And that turned into just a ton of work because the house needs work. And our water system went out and this and whatever. Dude, I came back with... I didn't get that rest. I didn't get any of that. And I took twice as much time off.
Yeah.
So next time I'm going to go, okay, I'm going to really compartmentalize it and go, okay, if I'm going to take a month off, the first 2 weeks is going to be, you know, straight up. The first 2 weeks will probably be straight up off, like literally not going to be checking work. I'm going to try to get the phone so it's gone as much as I can and just really disconnect. The second 2 weeks, I'll probably make it to where the first 90 minutes to 2 hours in the day that I'm actually working on things I really want to work on.
Yeah.
And that was a mistake I made, was that I really didn't set the expectation with Carly and with my friends and family that it's like, they thought I was off. So anytime I would pull away to do some writing or go on a phone call, they're going, you know, Daddy, I thought you were taking this month off. I'm like, no, right. I am. Right after I finish this, you know, and then we'll. And
yeah.
So it just created this weird dynamic, and we ended up, you know, Carla and I had a good talk and created a good little system that works well for us. So we can communicate better on that stuff and set the expectations better. But what do you do when you're taking 9 weeks off? Are you actually taking it off, or are you traveling and working every day? Kind of what's your setup?
Yeah. So it's a great question. You hit the nail on the head with, as far as like setting the expectations, especially with your spouse and your children and your team and your coworkers, about here's what, and I think everybody is different. So for me, when I was in Panama is on central, depending upon, they don't do daylight savings. So they fluctuate between central and Eastern time zone, right? It's still easy for me to do and work on my business. So when we were in Panama, it was, I'd get up in the morning, do a little bit of work, but then it was like, I wanted to go to the pool. I wanted to go to the beach. I wanted to hang out and maybe a little bit of work. When I was in Europe, I'm 9 hours ahead of the West Coast, which means 8 o'clock in San Diego or Seattle is 5 p.m. out there, which means that if I want to work, I can't even really start until 5 and realistically 6.
Yeah.
And so, you know, well, then you've got to make that decision, right? Are you going to spend your evenings hanging out with your family and having dinner, or are you spending your evenings working? Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea, we scaled back our direct mail spend to about 20-ish% of what it normally is, which means we generated approximately 20% of the leads, which meant that theoretically I was doing about 20% of the work. Yeah. So we didn't want to completely shut it off and have no money and no leads and no deals coming in the door, because part of the sexiness of it is closing a deal while you're, you know, nine time zones away. Yeah. But yeah, we really wanted to focus on just having some good quality family time. And the time zone thing was probably the biggest. When people ask me, like, was it tough to work over there? That was the biggest challenge, was the time zone thing. But I would strongly recommend for people who are thinking like, man, I'm really going to do this, I would maybe say, like, you know, do sort of what you did, which is take a shorter break and go 100% disconnect. It all depends on what you want, though, right? Like some people – like for me, it's funny, the picture came up in my, like, you know, on Facebook, how you've got the like memories and like 5 years ago today, yeah, you were doing this. And I've got the picture of me, I've got my headset on and Dream has taken it and I'm in the pool and I've got my laptop at the edge of the pool and I'm in the pool doing something on my laptop. And to me, like when I was younger, and that was only 4 or 5 years ago, I say younger, to me, that was like the dream. Like, I want to be doing deals in the pool, poolside, working. Like, and so if that's what you want to do and that to you is relaxing or cool or whatever, then go for it. But I think you really got to know, like, what do I do? Do I want to totally disconnect? Anyway, long-winded answer to your question is, there were long stretches on that trip where I didn't do a lot of work, if any at all. And it was nice and it was relaxing.
Dude, so is it still your ideal to be the guy in the pool doing work? Or are you now like, if I'm in the pool, I want to be in the pool. I don't want to be working.
I guess it would depend on where I was living. Yeah. But yes, like the whole idea of the pool, the swim, the, you know, on the phone, close the deal or send the email from the pool side is pretty cool. So
pretty sweet. We've got one of our team members, Andre, is actually – our team members can work from anywhere. And so she actually lives here in Roseburg, but she's up in the Oregon mountains right now. And she's literally sitting beside a lake working in the normal hours. And she'll cut out for – a couple times during the day for an hour, go on a waterfall hike. They'll go out there and do paddle boarding or whatever. And
that's yeah,
the cool thing is, as long as you're working with a company that'll help give you that flexibility, you can do that whether you're an entrepreneur or not. And I know for me, it's kind of funny, very similar, man, where for those people that are listening to this and you became an entrepreneur because of the lifestyle, because of that freedom, flexibility, I was the same way, dude, where I'm like, man, I want to be going to Hawaii and working for 2 or 3 hours in the morning, then I'm done and I can work from anywhere. And it wasn't until I did that twice. I went, you know, we're going to Hawaii and I'd work in the mornings or whatever. And for me personally, I'm like, man, I don't like this. I, I want to be in Hawaii and I want to be enjoying Hawaii. I don't want to have to work. And
right.
And so that for me is what kind of drove me to set up my team and my systems to where I can literally be gone and do zero of anything.
Yeah.
And it can still grow and build while I'm gone. But
I also think, Trevor, it's the individual, right? Like some people, they're just inherently workaholics, and the thought of them taking time off is like they can't do it.
Yep.
So I think you got to know yourself, and then know like maybe a lot of people like to do these workation things, right? Where it's like, hey, like I want to go and experience Europe for 2 months, but I know that I want to work while I'm there. Well, if you know that that's going to make you happy, but you only work 3 or 4 hours a day, but you really crank it out, but then you have a nice breakfast, you come back, you do some work, you have a lunch, you do a little bit of work, and then you're done, you're calling it a day at 3 or 4 and going out and doing whatever it is or being able to explore. So it really depends on what the person wants. But I would tell you that if you're an entrepreneur and you haven't taken like a proper vacation, you gotta do it and recharge the batteries. Yep. And go somewhere cool.
Yep. I love it. Well, dude, we're kind of nearing the end here, and I don't want to hold you any longer, but is there anything we haven't covered on the kind of you building your team? We don't really have time to really dive into fully how you built your team so you could go travel, but I know you have a team. You have people who are on the ground, you know, helping you do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we'll cover that in another podcast where people can connect with you on somewhere.
And, yeah.
Or whatever. The intern side, if anyone has questions about the internship stuff, put it in the comments section below this podcast on our website. Just go to carrotcast.com and you'll find this episode with Justin Lee, and you can put it in the comments section. And if there's any questions about it, we'll ping you and see if you can't chime in there. Dude, a couple questions for you. So I'm always, we'll wrap it up with this, but I'm always really fascinated on how people tick, you know, how people work. And like you mentioned, we all work differently. You know, what resonates with someone doesn't resonate with someone else. But one thing that I think all of us high achieving entrepreneurs have in common is we're always growing. And that's one of our core values here at Carrot. I'm just looking at my core values poster right now. It's constant and never ending incremental improvement. Man, what are you growing in right now? Like, what are you learning? What is that thing that you're like, man, this is what I'm learning and diving into right now, if anything?
On a business level or on a personal level?
Yeah, whatever. It could be anything.
So I would say for business, for me right now, it's really focused on, I would say, focusing on sales. So I got my career started in sales, and that's what I did when I worked in corporate America, but I was selling for the other company and I was the rep. And for me now, it's finding the right salesperson to go out and act on my behalf, and then making the process as successful, putting them in the best position to succeed. So in other words, having really dialed in, and marketing generates the lead, salesperson goes on the appointment, closes the deal, come back, repeat, and over and over and over again. And really making that process where I can find good salespeople, put them in a situation where they can succeed, and making it fun and exciting, and making it so remembering what it was like when I was in the field and what I thought would be like a cool company or cool things, and doing that. Because for a long time I was a one man band, and then just realized like now I'm in multiple markets. Like I have to have other people, and I can't be this single point of failure. So that for me is like the area where I'm really like focused on growing professionally.
Is there a book or resource you're diving into to help you with that? Or you just running and gunning and learning on the fly?
There's not so much a book or a resource that I've found to be a silver bullet. It's really more just taking the time to really build the processes and dial it down and grow it and sort of figuring it out as we're going along. So we got our first acquisitions manager in San Diego. So now it's making sure that he's this, you know, successful as possible, and giving him the tools to make him successful, and redesigning our lead flow, lead gen funnels, the way the business works, to put him in the best position to succeed, to close as many deals as humanly possible.
Dude, you're building a foundation right now. And that's awesome. You're going out there and building the systems to scale, which is beautiful. So last question here, dude. Same thing, like with my whole Carrot journey, for me, I got really reignited about my excitement with business with Carrot. and really having a mission behind why we do what we do. And it could be a stated mission. It could be just one at your core. It's like, man, this is why I do it. Why the heck do you do what you do? You know, why are you out there being an entrepreneur, doing the things that we have to put up with, going through some of those stresses? Why do you do what you do?
Yeah, I just like not having to answer to anybody. Mm-hmm. In the sense that everything with my life is all about looking into the mirror and realizing, like, I'm the guy who has to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it for me. I'm doing it for my wife. I'm doing it for my kids. And I'm doing it to show them that there are all these awesome things that you can do in life and that you can experience. But there are things that you have to, you know, be able to do, which is the biggest one is A, do you have the financial resources to do it? And then B, are you in control of your finances where you don't have to ask anybody for permission? Hey, can I get this time off? Hey, is it cool if I go to Europe for 9 months, Mr. Boss? And that's not to belittle anybody who has a boss, but I'm saying that that's for me is why I do what I do, because I enjoy that freedom. And, you know, it's one time around, you get one chance at life. And, you know, you can't, for us, we're really big on the whole experiences thing. We're not big on the stuff thing. Mm-hmm. Because when you die, you can't take all that stuff with you. Or when I'm dead and gone and my kids are around, hopefully they're going to remember the 9 weeks that they spend in Europe, not the fact that they got the extra Star Wars Millennium Falcon Lego set. He tried to sucker me. I'm like, it's not even going to fit in the suitcase, dude. It's not happening. Exactly. It's not coming home.
So what's the next, or what is one of the big experiences that you want to experience yourself that you haven't yet?
Oh man. My son is dying to go to Australia. So we'll probably do that. I'm dying to go back to Southeast Asia because I haven't been since 2002. I really, really, really want to do hike the Inca Trail and do Machu Picchu. Yep. But I want to do it like there's a train you can take. I don't want to take the train. I want to do like the full 3-day hike.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got to find that sweet spot of when the kids are going to be old enough to be able to physically do that. Which actually leads me to one thing that I would just – so that would probably be the top ones. But I will tell you that one thing that we noticed on this trip in Europe is we did quite a bit of hikes and walks and exploring and whatever. And we looked around and Dream and I just – we felt really fortunate that you hear so many people say, I'm going to do that when I'm retired. I'm going to take that trip when I'm retired. And it's like there's a lot of stuff that we did where I'm thinking to myself, I wouldn't want to be of retirement age doing this.
Yeah.
I want to be younger and healthier and fit and not have it be a struggle. And just if anybody's listening, hopefully that's maybe an inspiration to you to go out and take that trip or take that time off or become your own boss or whatever it is that's, you know, that obstacle in your life right now. Just you don't know when your number is going to get called and it's game over. So, you know, I mean, we're just trying to live our life to the fullest and experience life and give experiences to our kids. And most importantly, try and give them experiences to how other people around the planet live and what life is like in other countries and other communities and other, you know, in other places.
I love it, man. I love it. And I'm just trying to think. We could go on for another hour with some questions I've got, but we're right at the hour mark here, and I'm going to wrap it up. And I really appreciate you joining me. And like we said before, we even hopped on here. It's like, man, it's been too long since we talked, so we need to.
I know.
We need to connect in person again sometime soon. But where's the best place people can connect with you if they want to, or learn more about what you guys are doing on interns? I don't even know if that stuff is out there still. Or
yeah, they can go to internprofits.com, and there's, you know, some free training on there. And and then on the real estate side of things, if you want to connect with us, our corporate site is jlinvesting.com, and you can find out a little bit about us. I'm assuming they're not interested in going to my carrot sites.
Dude, they might
unless
be.
They have a house that they want to sell.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, jlinvesting.com if you want to learn more about the real estate company, and internprofits.com if you want to learn how to find, hire, and manage interns to build your carrot sites and do a bunch of other cool stuff for you and pick up deals for you that you can close virtually. So
beautiful. Well, man, tell Dreamin' and the kids that said hey, and well, appreciate you coming on once again. And everyone that's listening to this episode, go out there and I think the message that Justin ended up with is perfect way to end this podcast is go out there and have those experiences right now in your life. While we're able-bodied, while we know that we can do them, instead of putting those things off for 5, 10, 15 years or someday. Because just like Justin said, someday might be never, and we never know when that number is going to be called. So go out there, guys and gals, live an amazing life of passion, purpose, and go out there and implement some of the things that Justin talked about today. Get delegating, guys. Get delegating. Interns are an amazing source for that. And also expand your horizons on what your marketplace is. Justin's up there in Canada, investing in 3 different cities in the States. There's no excuses why you guys and gals could not do whatever the heck you want to do. You just got to get out of your own mindset funks and go from there. So guys and gals, have an amazing rest of the week. And check out our other CarrotCasts at CarrotCast.com. And please, please, please don't forget this one, but go to CarrotCast.com or find us on iTunes and give us a rating, give us a review, subscribe to it over there. We actually release CarrotCast about 2 weeks in advance on the iTunes channel before we email them out, before we put them on our blog. So you'll get advance notice over there. And also just giving us reviews and subscribing really helps us bump us up in the iTunes rankings so we can reach more people and spread our message out there to more people. So thank you, Justin, for hopping on the call, man, and we'll talk to everyone soon.
So there you have it, guys and gals. You can build an amazing business while you travel the world, while you have a family, and while you make amazing profits and really build that financial security and lifestyle you're looking for. Now, it's not a dream. It's not a mirage. It is something a lot of people live and breathe every day. But the problem is, we've talked about this on other episodes of the CarrotCast, and I'm going to be talking about this with my man here at Carrot, Adrian Nez, on another episode of the CarrotCast you should look out for, or it might have already been published. But look at that episode. It's on the mindset around succeeding. It's on the mindset around success and what you have to have to really, in order to grow your team and scale past oneself. You can have a business that serves you rather than you serving it. And I've experienced both. I've experienced businesses that really started off amazing, and I myself put myself into a position that I found miserable, you know, and just didn't want to wake up in the morning and do the work that I had set myself out to do. No one's fault but my own. I've also lived on the other side. I've also lived where businesses were insanely, insanely profitable, also insanely, insanely purposeful, and just help me live my passion. I mean, Carrot is that business for me right now. And also where it really, I was structured very intentionally to help serve me and also serve our team members and serve our employees and serve our customers in a huge, huge, huge way. And that's the thing, guys and gals, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Okay. You can build a company that serves you in an amazing way. It basically helps you live your dreams, while at the same time helps your employees live their dreams and helps your customers live their dreams. Okay. And that's what we're all out to create. So go out there and implement what Justin and I talked about in this episode. If you're a traveler, don't wait. Don't wait to go out there and travel. Don't wait just because you have kids, or if I have some friend, really good friends who are about to have kids. And, you guys might be listening to this episode, Doug, Ashley, some of those other ones out there. If you guys are, go out there and travel the heck out of the world with your kids. Okay. I'm not going to lie. It's definitely easier in the airports with just you, or just you and your wife, or you and your husband or spouse. Okay. But don't let those things in life hold us back from doing the things we want to do. Okay. Travel with the kids, have those experiences, structure your business so you can go out there and do what you want to do in your life. And also, guys and gals, structure the business so you're doing the things that suit you, the things that you're great at. Just like Justin and I talked about, don't get bogged down in the details of things you're not great at. All right. So anyway, re-listen to this episode in 6 months, see if things have changed. And also, guys and gals, forward this episode to someone you care about if you think that this is going to hit them where they need to be hit right now in their life. All right. And also one last thing, if you want to go out there and implement some things that Justin talked about on the intern side of things, I can definitely vouch that having great interns can be a great asset in your business. We've had three, we've hired two of them because they're such great workers, and the other one's still doing projects for us. If you want to go out there and implement what Justin teaches, just go to his website, internprofits.com. That's not an affiliate link. I don't make any money. If you just want to learn what they're doing and learn how to do what they do with interns, check it out. And also another free resource I've mentioned at the start of this podcast, but just want to make sure you know it's there if you haven't already. We have an amazing guide on content marketing. We're going to walk you through what we do, what our process is, how to control the conversation in your market online. And whenever you have a house seller or house buyer or private lender or tenant and they're searching the web, would you rather have you controlling that conversation online and then not able to not find your website? Like there's nowhere they can go without stumbling across you, or would you rather have that be your competitors? Well, this free resource is going to help you lock down that conversation in your market so you're the only viable option that pops in front of them all the time when they're searching the web. And that's the way you win the game in this day and age, guys and gals. All you have to do to get that is text the word carrot to 38470. Once again, text the word carrot to 38470. We're going to email you that resource. You just have to text us back your best email address. We'll email you the resource and go implement it, download it, do whatever. Just actually do something with it and go run with it. I'm going to leave you with this, a little bit of wisdom here. Okay. The best thing you can do from this podcast, if you do nothing else from this episode, is write down right now those things in your life, those experiences in your life you want to have. I do it myself in the form of a life list. Okay. Whatever it is, write those things down. And this week, schedule to do one of those things within the next 3 months. Okay. Find a way to build that into your schedule. Find a way to build that into your budget. Find a way to build your business around those experiences. Because if you don't do it now, like Justin said, the time may never come or the time may be too late. So go out there and live your lives with passion. Go out there and live your lives and build your businesses with purpose. And go out there and just crush it in this world, guys and gals. We get one turn on this earth, and I want you to make the biggest and greatest impact you can make. We're here to help amplify that for you. All right. So until next time, guys and gals, subscribe to the Carrot Cast on iTunes, please, and give us some ratings and check out the other episodes at carrotcast.com. And there's other amazing episodes all the way from Martin Bonesar talks about how he's making lower offers in his market and closing more deals. He's taking deals away from competitors who are making higher offers. We have other episodes where my favorite author, Mike Michalowicz, or one of my favorite authors from the Pumpkin Plan and from Profit First, we dive into how to build a business where you work on fewer things, have more fun and make more profits. The Pumpkin Plan is a process I go through every single quarter, and it's what helped really accelerate the growth of my own business and life. Okay. So check out the other episodes of the Carrot Cast where you can learn, grow, and find your passion and purpose with us. And until next time, guys and gals, we'll talk soon.